It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Well, I started my program the last hour. You may not have heard it, but you'll hear it played back sometime this evening as part of what I do. I start a little early, and then there's one place where you can't call in because it's recorded, but it's live the same evening. Can't explain the order which we're trying to do, because I'm not a young man anymore, so I try not to keep up too late. But officially, the program starts from 10 p.m. West Coast time, Monday through Friday, to 1 in the morning, and refeeds itself. So from there on, it's refed until we get to the morning news. And then there's a talk show host that comes off with philosophical ideas. And that's the kind of thing that we're doing and trying to help America to become a better place in doing these programs. And I appreciate the radio stations that allow me to do this. But I do need support because I'm not paid to do it. And the stations are gracious enough to allow me to use their antennas in the evening to say something to Americans who are stressed almost to the death. And the number to call me is 800-866-8883. And it's good to call me at 9 o'clock in the evening. And then 10 o'clock is a very good time. There's refeeds and an extra hour. It's a three-hour program. But the 2 hours that you really, really get to me, where I'm on my toes, is those 9 o'clock. You don't hear the 9 o'clock show. But we start at 9 because I'm feeding another network. So I'm actually live, but you will hear one of them as not live. It is the same evening, but it usually will be full of calls anyway, and you'll love to listen just the same. Anyway, I opened my program by saying, that the Fox News had something that verified what I've been saying all along, and all my theories and ideas about stress being 95% of all human suffering, murder, mayhem, even war. It's all behind that, but the human race is addicted to stress like a drug addict to crack. You can be addicted to stress and take your identity from it, take your motivation from it like an animal. But the trouble is, you're not an animal, and the result is conflict, because stress alters you. It makes you change your shape. It ages you earlier. And as you get old, as it ages you, comes with it the slow disability of your disabling your immune system, and you can't come fall prey to many illnesses in your old age. But you should live to a right old age with very little need for any medicine. But since you have noticed that the shock and the commotion that's going on, the alarm, that everybody is so sick, the country is so sick, and so dependent, so fearful of their lives, their selfish lives, there's panic in the air when you lose your insurance. Now, it's good to have insurance, although I brought up my family without it. And very successfully. The amount of money they need for insurance you can put in the bank and insure yourself. Because all you're going to be doing in the end is someone's rotten, stinking lifestyle at your expense. And you're going to be angry and hostile knowing that's the truth, and fearing the fact that when it's your turn, there won't be any money there, which you'll be right. And then you'll be angry and stressed at the very thought of that. But nevertheless, you'll be forced to pay taxes to keep somebody alive when they don't really deserve to be alive. That's what it is. They're encouraging bad lifestyles, because the whole idea of socialism is to create mental poverty. You can't rule a noble people. You cannot rule immoral people. They have to demoralize you. And the whole thing about life is demoralization. Now, you can act moral, but you see, but still be demoralized underneath it. Demoralization, this is a state of mind, never mind what face you put on it. I'm Roy Masters, and I'm Advice Line, so where are you? Hello? And let's have another good program.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you, but if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
And yes, I've carried a person over, a lady, Sandra, from a program we just recently did, or maybe 20 minutes or 15 minutes ago. And we're going to continue. I will continue listening to her needs and respond to that. And we're going to have her back. And Sandra, would you just for the sake of the new audience that may be just joining us, could you just state what, roughly in a few words, what your problem is or was?
Yes. I was basically dealing, or until you gave me the answer, dealing with the fact that I could see my mom trying to seduce my son by coddling him. He's 4 years old. She was trying to cradle and rock him. And he resisted at first, but she continued to hold him.
I know, but maybe the damage is already done, see. You see, if you take your children into public school and you drop them off at the door and not really talking to the teachers, and perhaps there are good ones, but mostly they're not. If they're public school teachers, they're no damn good for the most part. And they're no damn good because they shouldn't be there in a union school anyway, because they have to put up with that, preach the things they shouldn't be preaching. But that's neither here nor there. But if you drop your children off at a public school and you just drop them off wasn't worth anything, the first day you do that, you could lose your child forever. The teacher has one face for you and another face for the child. And the child starts having problems, it will look like the child, and the teacher will look like this. She didn't do anything, it's a problem. And the problem is you've given a child to a stranger. You've given your authority to a stranger. You say, listen to that person. And because they're suggestible, you've actually doomed them to somebody you don't really know. That's why you should keep your children away from public school, and keep your child away from a possessive mother who wants to suck the life out of your child and not give it freedom. She wants to take something from that child. And you know, you were listening to a full hour of that before you got on the air, right?
Right.
You heard it. And so you need to talk to your son. Say, Mother, sorry, because grandmother is not well. She wants something from you, and it's not good for her to give it, and I want you to stand up when she wants to hold you tight like that. If you don't want to do it, say, Mother, I don't. Grandmother, my mother said you should not do that. It's not good. It takes away my freedom.
Okay.
I don't want to be your slave. Fault. He'll understand it. I can say, I don't want to be your slave, Grandma. They understand that. You'd be surprised how young children understand these better than adults.
Okay.
I want my kids to stand up Let me say, tell you how far it goes. You ready for this?
Yes, I am.
David Masters, when he was a little boy, come out of a restaurant, the man, and see a bald-headed man. He says, what's that man got on his head? He was a bald-headed person. He thought something was on his head. And he'd say it out loud. Then he would say, for example, you see, we're going through a Walmart, and there's this big woman with a huge butt. I mean, so huge, it was like a rock that could keep the sun out. And he would say, hey, mother, that woman's got a big butt. But she did. And the woman looked, turned around and growl. But what could you do?
Well, he wasn't afraid of the truth.
But she was.
Yeah.
Somebody needed to say it better out of the mouth of a kid. Because people don't look at themselves. They're usually people like that. They've got someone that loves them the way they are, someone, some family member. They've got someone sort of trained to enslave them, to make them feel good about themselves.
It's the way they are.
And so your mother is very insecure, and she needs reassurance by giving fake love in exchange for enslaving a person to feel, give up his life to her, to yield something of his substance.
And I didn't tell you, Roy, that she has an unexplained hatred for me. It's passionate.
Yeah, I know, but you can play that, you know. And so you play it in the hopes of one or two things. I have the same idea about people who hate me. If I come in a lot of contact with them in business, as you're around them a lot, and they will hate you, let them hate you. Don't try to stop them. Don't argue with them. Let them hate you. Don't respond to the hate. And when you look at them with innocent eyes, they will feel the sting. But you're not doing anything at all. But what's happening is they are trying to enter you to violate you for what it's worth to their ego. They need life force, and that's unlocked when you get upset. If you're calm, you become one's God's children, and you are impervious to that cruelty, and they will hate you more, and they will try some way to defame you, or do anything. Again, they will try every trick, and everything you will need to do is stand your ground and never move, and you will guilt them into trying harder and harder, and all they do is get guiltier and guiltier and guiltier until they one morning they won't come to work, and so you got rid of one of them. See? That kind of thing. Or they will think to themselves, or they could, because what's happening is when you don't respond, and they respond to you not respond, try this thought. When you
okay.
don't respond, and so you don't respond to them trying to get you to respond. So when you don't respond, they respond to the fact that you won't do as they're told. You won't do as you're told to respond, because they need you to respond to breathe in the miasma of your decay.
Yeah.
See that? I've amplified my language a little bit. And so
I mean, I really understand that, because I'm finally emotionally mature enough not to respond. And she does things now, like I'll buy groceries, and I'll notice that she'll hide something that I've bought.
Yes.
And find it, and I don't respond to her. She doesn't want to look like the problem. So
yeah.
Now she's turned over and she's politicking by trying to look like she's being nice and
trying to make
an impression. But
and
I don't respond, because really even the nice
that's right.
Spirit.
Now you got the idea. So you don't respond to her nice gestures to make you like her. And so, but you don't hate her. And so what she's doing is banging against the rock of a gentle defiance. You understand that when she's mean, you don't get upset, and when she's sweet, you don't fall for it. And then and she senses it, because nothing comes back except a pain, a pain of guilt and renewed hatred towards you.
Right. And I failed yesterday because I really didn't know how to respond to her doing that to my son.
But you do now.
It felt so wrong.
I know.
And so today I kept him away from her, but I didn't really, I wanted to talk to you because I think, well,
you want to be sure. Yes.
I needed validation.
Yes,
I
get
it was wrong, but I really wanted to see what you thought.
Let's take it a little bit further. Let's say your mother starts to get upset, and then all of a sudden she has a heart attack. And this goes on for several months, and all of a sudden she has a heart attack. And she's going to have a heart attack, but that's her fault, not yours. And but she will sort of try to imply that it's you, that you have to take care of her. But you'll take care of her anyway, won't you?
Right.
Got that?
Yeah.
And she's not going to guilt you into taking care of her. You'll still take care of her, won't you?
Right, I would.
And there you are. So you see, she'll even guilt you into doing that, but if you don't respond to that little dig, that's your fault that she's got a heart attack. So, no, it's her fault that she got a heart attack, not yours. It's either she has a heart attack or you have something similar. And so if the game is going to be played, you don't play it and you don't lose, but she loses. She loses every time and she gets upset because she can't win. And you don't want to win or lose, you don't play the game. That's how you win. And it's a good thing, because it could be that after a number of times getting angry with you and reacting to you, she's reacting to something good in you, you see, which can sting her if there's something really bad and kill her. It's possible that it could kill her. So even though you're taking care of her and you're loving her all the time with pure love, she may hate you all the way and then, you know, be like, yeah, I've got to have a floating break here, but let me just finish the thought.
Okay.
She'll be like that, there's a movie of an exorcism. I can't remember the scene of it. But she will feel the sting of your love and then start to die, start to get sick and want to make you sorry for her. No, don't be sorry for her. Still take care of her. Be concerned, not sorry. Don't let her produce any feeling at all in you. Then she will say, don't you have a feeling? No, Mother, I don't have a feeling. I love you. I don't have to feel love. Feeling love is a lie. It's the love you want to have. You want to feel like somebody loves you. And you have to destroy somebody to get that feeling. See that?
Yes, I do.
You don't have to say that to your mother. I just amplified it best way I could. So, or people will say if you don't have feelings, you can have very cruel people that don't have any feelings. They do have feelings. They're angry people. They have feelings. But they don't have feeling for people. They have feeling of judgment for people. They feel self-righteous. They feel so solid, but they have feelings. See? They hide these feelings, these judgments. And if you ever meet people like that, there's a battle between these judgmental people, and you are not judgmental, but you can see the attacks, the looks, the nose looking down their nose at you and trying to get you to get upset and angry, to demoralize you for their pleasure. And they will keep on doing that, and you keep on not playing the game. Sooner or later, one morning they will wake up sick and die. And I mean that. It's a game to death. Is death for you or death for them?
But
do you understand that?
I really understand that. It's like the Black Widow spider.
Yeah.
I really do understand it. And it took me, I've been listening for years. I started listening when I was still in school. And it's my growth has been steady. I've made mistakes. But what I'm learning now, like you always say, don't rush to correct a mistake. I'm understanding how the ego, once you get your ego out of the way, you're able to get direction from God. But
that's
rushing
correct.
To correct your mistake and trying to be everybody's God and
that's
trying
right.
to be liked, it's an ego trip. It's still selfish. It's not really love at all.
No. To love and be loved is a very dangerous game. To love is to give yourself to someone or to trick somebody into feeling good about themselves so that they are obliged to do as you want them to do to get the feeling again. Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful person. Thank you. You didn't have to do that. Yes, you did. Right?
Right. I understand it. And I don't know. You've been a light in the darkness. I have so much gratitude and appreciation. I'm so glad you're still on the air.
But you know what? I'm looking at the screen, and we have possibly 100,000 people listening at one time. And I talk about stress all the time, and everybody listening has stress. But they're enamored with their stress. They're addicted. Because whoever they are, it's all they've got. In other words, years and years of stress has deformed them.
Can I ask you a scary question?
Always love scary questions.
Well, I mean, I know so you didn't. At one point, you didn't really want to talk a whole lot about these things.
Well, it depends on what it is. Yeah.
It's evil. Like, I know that it exists, like the demonic spirits. You can see it in people.
Yeah.
And part of a lot of what you're expressing to people and kind of help, trying to help people do is a way of dealing with that that might even be in themselves and also that
yes.
in other people. Because
yes.
I see it in other people. And I hate to say it, but I see it in the mother.
Yeah. There's evil in there. She wants to possess. She wants to possess the youth of your child.
Exactly, and I really wasn't sure how to. I'm glad you told. I needed to know, and that's called right away.
But you may not know it, and it's incumbent on you to let her know it, in no uncertain terms.
Okay. Right, that's what I wanted.
But without anger.
Yeah.
And then she will get angry with you. As if you've done something wrong, you'll hold your ground. You expect to have a banaka blast, if you don't mind me using that term. Expect
it. You know, Roy, this is crazy, but I can see it operating her like she's a tractor.
Yes, that's right. She's a vampire.
I can see it though, and I don't think she's aware of it. But no, she watches.
It's possible in dealing with you, she may become aware of it, because. The energy that bounces off her. So when she reacts and tries to break in, to penetrate you, the shield goes up. The shield is always there, actually. So what happens is she runs into a brick wall. That's what it feels like. You don't feel anything. You don't feel anything. But she feels like she's run into a brick wall. And that will penetrate her with the light of good. So therefore, you've given her much more opportunity than she would give to you, because if she'd upset you, she'd give you two choices: to give in, go along, and give up your life, and go, and rebel and run out into the cold and become her. Got that? See, you have to give in to her or become her. That's the only choice you have.
And that's what was happening.
Yeah, that's right.
All my life, I walked around with this feeling of inferiority. Like
I know. She was feeding on you too.
And it was only until I backed away from the emotions that I was able to actually see what was
going on. Of course. So now, one more thing. So that when I said she reacts to you not reacting, so that you're penetrating her, but you're not doing anything purposely. There's no knowledge that you're doing this. But what's really happening, which you don't see because you're not on the receiving end, she tries to get you to get upset, to get inside you. But your non-reaction is the fact that you have a shield around you causes her to bang into something and give her a shock. And that shock will produce a good spot, something good that goes in there. But that good can also torment her and make her angry to get rid of it and rid of you. See, but if you hold your ground strong enough and long enough, it could be that that little glimmer of light that came in there would awaken her one day and say, "Why am I angry with my daughter and my son, grandson?" And so, it could happen that one of those two things, you give her a better chance than she gave you. You're giving a choice either to go on being rotten or to wake up to it, because you're giving her a wake-up serum, so to speak, injection It's there. It's that very thing that can make her hate you more and to persecute you more and throw you out and not want to ever see you again and all the rest of it. You have to be prepared for that.
She's already told me. She told me that last year. Yeah, so I am very prepared. But
you can also be very strong. Say, but Mother, yes. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. Okay. You need me here. And you become very compassionate. And you see that? And she won't be able to resist you if you say it very strong. I'm not leaving. Well, I'll call the police. Okay, well, you can if you like. She won't. And the police come. She has those pieces here. She's crazy. And you see that you're normal. See that?
I do.
And you give the wink, the policeman the wink. And she doesn't know what, she doesn't know what to do. But she, because she really needs some help. And you're the only person that can't help her. Nobody else will.
You're the only person who's put it that way, but I've said that for years.
Yeah.
And she's elderly. I mean, she's in her 70s. So, I mean, I'm concerned. I actually am concerned for her because she persisted for so many years.
And so you should be. You see, but the thing is, you must be concerned enough that you are strong enough when the time comes that you'll be there for her and not just a bag of rags.
Okay.
Got it?
I got it.
And she'll take you with her with a dying breath. See that?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Now, I don't think the people out there really enjoyed our conversation. And none of them are strong enough to say, I enjoyed it. I didn't like what you said. I think you're crazy. I wish somebody would speak up and say something. Oh, of course, shaming me and not saying anything is also a message. But necessarily, I think people, this is a very, very difficult subject, but a very simple one if you can understand the power, or if you can just bring it down to one thing, find grace and resilience under stress, grace under fire, if you like, whatever that really means, and you'll never die, and you'll never hurt anybody. You never hurt them purposely, just hurt themselves. Love, don't hate your enemy. See that? You love them, you don't hate them, and they hate it. There's something about evil in people that wants you to... That's sweet, lady. Would you like me to tell you a little bit more about why evil wants to tease you and get inside you. Here's how you need to see it. So, there's two kinds of wicked people. One of them can't help it. It could be you. It could be you have troubles. So that doesn't mean you say you've got problems, that you're wicked, but you're programmed to hurt your own family. Say that you're a patient who is not impatient with their children. And you stuff it down when you're working, but come home and you lose your patience with your kids because you're a coward. You have to take it out on someone, and it's pretty safe to take it out on your kids. No one's going to know. And create a problem in them. And then create the problem, you may want to feel guilty and take care of them. Or visit them in prison sometime in the future. So I'll take that break. Would you take the break, and I'll give you a voice of rest. And let me give you the number to call, 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. We have half an hour left in this program. And if you'd like to step up to the microphone and or your telephone, I'll help you. And if you would let me, you know, get inside you just a little bit, you'll see that you'll walk away a little freer tonight. I'm Roy Masters.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I'm Roy Masters. I was recently invited to speak about how to cure stress diseases for 100 physicians, psychiatrists at a Canadian university. I explained that stress is a code word for temptation, which minus the precise understanding of the root cause and naively treating the symptoms only is a slow, agonizing death for both patients and self-medicating doctors. I then demonstrated a simple 3-minute cure, and those who cooperated with the special mindful meditation were astonished by its beauty and simplicity. As a World War II veteran, successfully helping veterans resolve PTSD all by themselves, I want to share my 54-year experience on a nationwide radio called Advice Line.
Now you can listen to Advice Line Radio on your iPhone or Android device. Visit AdviceLineRadio.com to download the free app. Use it to listen to Advice Line live, as well as hear past programs and selected calls anytime. Download it now for free at AdviceLineRadio.com.
I wanted to give a testimony in regard to somebody who I will call my little sister. After doing the meditation with Roy, and I will say for about a year or so, I kind of had an addiction where I will be helping out women that were down and broken. After a while, somehow I will just partake in whatever their addiction was, you know, but through the meditation, I was able to rise up from that kind of decision. This poor lady came along, and she was just broken, and she was run away. And we started talking. She started telling me her story, and I said, look, I want to tell you something that maybe you never heard before, but, you know, I said, it doesn't really matter what happened to you in your life before. That's part of your history, part of the past. And if you can only understand one thing, that all you have and all there'll ever be forever and ever is right now, this moment that we're talking right now, this precious moment here. I say, you will allow me to be your big brother, and you, my little sister. I think that I can be or some kind of help to you. You know, I have some materials here from a foundation. You can try them. I say, you have these books here and how to control negative emotions and do the meditation. Needless to say, after that, she continued in her downward spiral, doing everything that was bad, prostitution, drug dealing, stealing, anything that was like she was doing it. She went to jail for about 6 months. And I think it's something that she needed, because when she was in jail, she started doing the meditation and she started reading the books. And that was a game changer, because after that, you know, when she came out and she went through a rehab place like for another 6 months, 6 months in jail and 6 months of rehab, she came out as a brand new person. It's been long 3 years. After this long 3 years, she's a brand new human being. She's given up her 24/7 prostitution, drug addiction, drug dealing, stealing, and all of that. And she has a job, and she has a relationship with the children that she left behind because of her addiction. And it's like, I just want to say thank you for being here at this time, that he was really needed. I needed him myself. And the power that he's able to convey through the meditation is so big and so awesome that I don't really know, don't have no name for it. You know, I mean, it's such a big thing that it is an amazing thing, and just want to say thank you for him being alive. You know, I call him my big brother, since I'm the big brother to my little sister. You know, it's like my big brother that I should have had a long time ago, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Your secret weapon against stress. It's the Cure Stress device. Use it anywhere, privately. Fits in your shirt pocket like a credit card. It's so simple, it works effortlessly, and it's endlessly rechargeable. Listen as needed to overcome pain, fear, and stress. And your children will love it. Leave it lying around. When they see you become happier, they'll become curious, pick it up, and the magic begins for them. Order now. Go to FHU.com. Call 1-800-877-3227. Regular business hours, Monday through Friday Pacific time. Or visit the website FHU.com. Call 1-800-877-3227.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Linda, if you wait for a few minutes while I finish a thought. Would you? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I was trying to hatch out a thought and put into words something you could understand, that why people want to hurt you, and why it is that when you get angry and resentful towards somebody, you become impregnated with some of the identity. It's not healthy. And it gets inside you and displaces your relationship with your creator and establishes one that's not healthy with that other person, a sort of loyalty which is like love and begrudgingly so, of course. But The reason is because human beings are in the image of God, regardless of how demented they are and broken and ugly and twisted and cruel and mad. It doesn't matter. There's something in a person that a person doesn't know. It infects that person that wants to also now infect you. It's using that person that's infected as an agent, a change agent. Almost like a political change agent, socialist kind of thing. A change agent who could convert and despoil people and demoralize them for the system, the power and glory of the system, the political system. But anyway, but there's something dynamic here. And the dynamic is this, that the person that is attacking you, whether he's really wicked, sociopath or psychopath, or programmed and can't help themselves, have been programmed to do that to you or was done to them, so they're redeemable while the sociopath may not be, but you can't tell the difference, so you can't, they both look the same. So you can't judge either one of them. So here it is, if you love, don't hate your adversary, now your adversary, love, don't hate them, you're immune. But the whole idea of the spirit in that person is to make you hate the person, not the spirit. They want you to help because man and woman are made in the images of God. And so therefore the human being, no matter how deformed they are and broken they are and how wicked they are, that was made in the image of God at one point. And it's infected. And you have to deal with the infection. So the infection is the spirit that wants to presents this body to you as if the person was doing it to you, so you'd hate the person. But when you hate the person, resent the person, you're hating God. And the minute you hate the person, the image, you're hating God who made him. See, even though it's twisted and broken. And the minute that happens, you separate from God and he gets inside you. You understand that? No, I don't think so. I think you'd like that. I could say more. Well, let me take my caller. 800-866-8883. I want psychiatrists and psychologists to call me. I want you, those of you who think I'm foolish, to consider the fact that you're addicted to the wrong kind of love, addicted to love. You know, there's a piece of music, addicted to love, and three babes waving their torso and singing that. So I remember seeing that. Addicted to love. Yeah, and then you made a song, they made a song out of that. And three babes were swinging their torso around and seductively. But addicted to love is addicted to excitement. And excitement is stress. It's seductive. Excitement is seductive. It takes away the pain of hatred. The pleasure behind the seductress that gives you the forbidden pleasure. It makes you cross that border and gets inside you and gives you a certain buzz, pleasure. It is a perverse pleasure that you get. You're not loving the person. If it's sex, it's just the warm body and the passion you like. And not the, never mind the person, is what they give you. But what they're taking from you is the minute you start to get excited, the very peak of that excitement, the spirit translates from your emotions into your monkey brain, but then from the monkey brain it gets right into your soul and it will kill you. That's why pornography will kill you. It will kill your soul. And so that's just another one of my contributions to the reason why you better straighten your life out. Because if you don't, if Americans, you don't do that, you're all going to be demoralized more than you are now. You're going to be encouraged to be demoralized and given plenty of, you're going to be rewarded for being demoralized. You're going to get the best welfare and the best Medicare if you allow yourself to be demoralized and do all these filthy things. See, and so we'll have a demoralized society, and then the medicine will just simply be a drug to keep you living longer and longer and have a stifled existence where people live off you, like the Matrix, except they're people and not machines. Okay, no. All right, we're going to take our caller. It is Linda in California. Hello, Linda. What can I do for you?
Hi, Roy. I wanted to talk really about the mistakes that I keep making over and over, and I just trying to understand possibly why. For me, it's losing some jobs and, you know, knowing now that I have to get another job, it's kind of in the back of my head. Am I going to make the same mistake? Or
What is the mistake?
Well, what I'm noticing is, maybe it's because I don't like the field of the work. It's secretarial work, and, you know, you have deadlines, and you have the stresses there to make sure that you meet these deadlines. And sometimes I'll sit on the work, and I won't, you know, procrastinate.
Yeah, but because, you see, you can't, the stress is wearing you out. It's motivating you, but it's also causing a rebellion against it.
Yeah, I could see that, because 4 years ago, I had cancer. But luckily now, you know, everything's okay with that.
Well, you better, whatever it is all right about it, it's something you must have learned for it to go away, but you don't want it to come back by making the same mistake. Now let's talk about what the mistake really is. It is resenting something to get the energy to function.
I have been really emotional lately, and I know.
I know, but the cancer will come back.
True.
If you're prone to cancer, that's what caused it. And you had a little enlightenment at one time, so and you felt a little secure at some time, and you had a good attitude towards it at one point. And you didn't seem to learn the lesson, and you can't resume your life the same as it was before. You need to be grateful that you have a life, and then you need to understand that people don't have a life of their own, and they steal your life by intimidating you all the time and pushing you, and pushing your buttons and making outrageous demands. And your best bet is not to be resentful towards the boss that does it, and say to the boss, yes, sir, I'll do it for you. But he wants to push you to do it, because that kind of boss wants a piece of your soul. He's not interested so much as, you know, that you're doing the job right. You have to understand there's two kinds of employers. And one employer is kind of secure that everything got things going for him, but what he wants now is not enough he's got money, he wants souls. That's why people who have a lot of money and not happy with the money, they use the money to, you know, to become a politician, because they want souls. And so that's, of course, that's the ultimate food for wicked people. You see that?
I see that.
So they buy power. Like Soros, he's a parasite. Yeah, he'll devour whole countries. So, and Adolf Hitler, parasite, and Obama and his crew, parasites. They want to demoralize America and make them dependent upon their lordship, creating problems and giving solutions that don't work, to frustrate you, and to have a steel face, a smiling face, and say they're going to fix it, but they won't. And you create frustration in you, and the energy passes up the chain into the top, and they're feeding on the power. Do you see that?
I do see that. I feel lost. I guess I'm...
But the point is, the thing is, there are some bosses that are like that. Some bosses are good, and they don't, not cruel and pressure you. And some bosses, they will not give you the chance to get it finished. They just want to push you and push you. And if you don't get pushed, you move at the speed you can with the gracious energy you have, but you must now not allow yourself to be pushed. And you must show the fact that you're not pushed. You say, yes, sir, I'm doing as fast as I can. And let him, and that will upset him, because the whole purpose of your employer, your job depends upon you becoming a robot, a food source for his pleasure, perverse pleasure, degrading you. And when he finds that he can't degrade you, he'll do one of the things, he'll fire you. Good, you don't belong there. But on the other hand, it has a good side to it. When he sees that you're not like everybody else, there's something in him will suddenly awaken and appreciate you. Here's somebody that's different from everybody else. I'm going to give her the job of foreman. See that?
That would be nice.
But anyway, that's what happens. I've been thrown out of places under those conditions, but I don't belong there. I'm always thrown out of places I don't belong. I make myself known, I get thrown out, but eventually I find myself in the kind of company who appreciate what I do, like you, for example. See?
And but it is, I wanted to also question whether it's something I'm doing online.
No, but no, it's what you're, what, no, no, it's not what you're doing. It's what you're failing to do. You're failing you've forgotten how about reacting. You're failing in that department whereby you are playing the game. You are actually, your buttons are being pushed and separating you from God. And when you separate from God, you become their meal. And they can't get enough of the wonderful stuff. They'll bully you until you're crying, and they still won't stop. And they throw you out. You get sick, and you can't go to work anymore. And then your miserable carcass will feed the medical system. You're not going to get better from stress. They're going to just give you tonics and medicines and X-rays and operations. They're going to do all those things as long as it's available, but they won't cure you.
Right.
If Jesus came and everybody would believe in him, and tears and misery and illness and sickness and wars would pass from the earth, the bad guys would make sure he gets assassinated. Even if they promised a resurrection, they wouldn't believe it anyway. They'd try to assassinate him. The Pope better watch out. He's a good man. All right. Nice of you to call. And I hope I'm making these points over and over again. Learn how not to react to stress. I've got the Cure Stress device. And you get it downloaded if you want to. You know, download it from FHU.com. FHU.com. Okay? I'm Roy Masters.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
The commercial here. I'm just tired.
I'm Roy Masters. I was recently invited to speak about how to treat stress diseases for 100 physicians, psychiatrists at a Canadian university. I explained that stress is a code word for temptation, which minus the precise understanding of the root cause and naively treating the symptoms only, is a slow, agonizing death for both patients and self-medicating doctors. I then demonstrated a simple 3-minute cure, and those who cooperated with the special mindful meditation were astonished by its beauty and simplicity. As a World War II veteran, successfully helping veterans resolve PTSD all by themselves, I want to share my 54-year experience on a nationwide radio called AdviceLine.
Now you can listen to AdviceLine Radio on your iPhone or Android device. Visit AdviceLineRadio.com to download the free app. Use it to listen to AdviceLine Live, as well as hear past programs and selected calls anytime. Download it now for free at AdviceLineRadio.com.
You know, I thought it was the bottom of the hour, and we had a four-minute break. I thought, wow, time's passing very quickly in this program. Could I beg you to support the program of Foundation of Human Understanding with your tax-deductible donations? You don't have to give a lot. Just give something. If I've helped you, it costs money to bring you this. I can't stay on the air and say these things, and I cannot tolerate the commercial radio. I cannot speak my mind. I cannot speak all the things I need to say without offending lots of people, which I'm doing right now. I'm offending religious people. I'm offending political people. I'm offending everybody where it belongs. I'm sticking you where it belongs. But that's not meant to hurt you. It's not meant to look down my nose at you. It's meant to make you aware of your frailty, by which you are by which you are manipulated. You can only attract the worst kind of people to love you in that way, because I can love you only, to be honest with you, so that you see it and you can turn against me all you want. And that's your problem. My problem is to hold my ground and hoping that you see that I care. I won't stop. And it looks like I'm nagging, but I'm not. So please support my program, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. I'm getting tired and the evening is drawing to a close, so just give me a call.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, we have our first gentleman this evening. It's mostly ladies. Hello, Tommy.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Roy. I just wanted to keep to the flow with the 10 o'clock program here at the beginning, where you, the grandma and the cuddling and so forth.
Yeah.
You might have helped actually three people, two other brothers of mine, listen to this program.
Yes.
And, my mom, she would try to get us angry as kids, and then she would cuddle us and say,
There you go.
Yeah.
Would you like me to weigh in on that one?
Yes, please. I think she was what you call she's been deplaced, and she was trying to suck the life out of us.
Well, that's exactly. I saw a movie. I never forget scene in the movie. I forgot the whole movie. But this scene that you described was acted out perfectly. In the scene, if I can describe it, it's a mother berating her child and calling her, scolding her, calling her all kinds of names. And the said, "Mother, stop me! Mother, stop me! Mother, please, I can't take it anymore!" All of a sudden, after several minutes of that, mother stops. This is the movie. It's well done. Somebody understood it. All of a sudden, grasps the child and embraces her. What she's doing, she's embracing what she put into her. Do you see that? It's a fake love. And she nurtures what she's put into her. And then the child is finished for life.
Yes, Roy, because as I was talking to my brother last night, he had asked me on the phone, he said, "Why is our family so dysfunctional?" And he asked me, you know, he's gay, and I said,
but there you are, too close to mom.
Yes, exactly.
And no father.
Right, well, dad was kind of violent and stayed away at home,
Well, that was his defense. There was no defense, it only made him meaner.
Right, right.
And in his meanness, the boys reject manhood and accept mother's love, which feminized them.
Right. So she was actually, she's actually been deplaced when she was maybe hurt when she was a young girl.
Of course. You can't blame anybody because they're not born that way. We're just made that way, and it passes from generation to generation.
Right. The sins of the fathers, is that?
That's right. The sins of the fathers are projected. The word is projected from generation to generation, and but showing mercy for love to those that love me and keep my commandments. Every time you have they call it when a chicken, you have two black chickens and you produce, create black chickens. Then you have a chicken mating with a white chicken. Then you have colored chickens. We've got a pure breed here, mentally, spiritually.
Right. You know, Roy.
And you'll be hated. You'll be the hated one by the other chickens with different colors.
Yeah, you know, I must have had some kind of protection because when I was, five or six, I wouldn't let her cuddle me. I wouldn't let her.
Oh, absolutely. That you are protected with that. You should question that happening.
Yeah,
no real mother does that. No real mother does that.
Right.
See, your whole idea is that the baby suckles and is close to mother for a little while, but slowly but surely, the child needs to be run free. And it's the role of the father to make sure that she doesn't hold that child too bad, to be maternal for it, for the whole existence. There's a tendency for a woman to want to do that. And to and to maternalize the husband too. To nurture.
Roy, did I have, I guess I had God's extra protection.
Oh, absolutely.
Compared to my brother who was, I guess, didn't have as much protection. And
well, I tell you what, if you give him one of those, you know, Christmas is coming.
Right.
And you could buy one of those cure stress devices and give it to him and say, listen, this will just help you relax. It really will be good for you. And it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with any illness. It has no special language. It is not religious language. No mention of God in it.
Right.
And yet, magic will happen. Just stand back and watch him change, become normal.
I think I would do that, Roy, because, like, you know, this is not a psychological aspect. It's more of a spiritual.
Homosexuality is psycho-illogical.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, psycho-illogical.
Oh, I see.
It's the way I pronounce it.
Right.
It's not logical.
We all have our sins.
No, it's not a normal thing.
Right.
Nor can it ever be normal. No matter, you have to be crazy to see, think of it as being born that way.
Right.
If you want to be born with, you know, with two sexes, you'd have to have two appendages.
Right. I believe that you're not born, you know, gay.
No, you're not born gay.
That it's caused by resentment toward.
And you're not born violent.
Right. And like I was saying, you weren't born resentful. I mean, excuse me, you weren't. It's because of resentment.
No, you weren't born resentful.
Right.
But you know what the Indians used to do? There's a tribe of Indians. Forget them, but they made them very powerful braves by women feeding the child, but not making the child cry and angry before they feed it, so they grow up to be angry warriors. They tease it with their breast and not give the child until he gets angry. Well, you know, it's been very good this evening so far. We had some good questions. And I do hope you enjoyed my answers. We're going to be back tomorrow too, and it's going to be another hour coming up. So it depends on where we are as the program unfolds during the evening because of this refeed, so I don't know what's coming, how they rearrange those. But it's 3 hours to begin with, and then it refeeds. So you aren't going to miss anything if you want to stay up late. Or you can wait till tomorrow morning, and whenever you want to, for the whole 24 hours, you can hear the refeed. And you get the refeed if you have one of those smartphones and you have the iPods, the iPhones, and you've got the apps. You can go to the apps. You can go to AdviceLineRadio.com, and then you can get the apps and download them like that. And then you can buy things and listen to. You can search the web and do all kinds of neat things with it. I don't know how it works because I have an iPhone and I don't know how to do that. I don't have to do to look at my stuff like that way. I just want to go to the website. I hardly ever do. It's not my reason. My job is to try to woo you into becoming a better person. Please support my program. And by the way, we need some volunteer help for the Christmas. I mean, so maybe you want to come up to the ranch and let you stay there. If you want to be a volunteer, if you have some skills with answering the phones, that would be very nice. We can make that arrange for you.